I just need to, just as we were going to worship, I got a message that there's new life family in crisis at this very moment. So if you'll, obviously I'm not going to make that public, but I need to pray corporately for that situation. So bow your heads, your hearts with me. God, in the name of Jesus, have your way. Jesus, you taught your disciples to pray. Now this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And that's what I'm praying for this situation right now, that your kingdom would be released into the earthly. That your kingdom, your provision, your heavenly provision would be delivered to this situation even as we pray. In situations that we don't know what the outcome will be, in situations we don't know what to do, in situations where we have maybe prayed many, many times before, but today we're asking for your heaven to be released into this family, into this individual's life. And Father, may your way and your will be accomplished. May they feel the presence of the very living and powerful, gracious and merciful God into their hearts, in their lives right now. Father, those that are coming around them, the doctors and people that are going to be helping them, just special touch on them. May you fill the whole environment that this morning, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on that room. May it be a cloud in that room that maybe the door would even open harder because, Holy Spirit, you're filling the room. Bring a healing. Bring a touch in the name of Jesus. Amen. An opportunity. Just to make, there's something in the way on that thing on the back. Whatever is behind me projected also is up there projected, so I don't have to turn around. So, hey, there it is. Opportunity is a set of circumstances that make it possible to do something. A set of circumstances that make it possible to do something. You have an opportunity. I misquoted this on Thursday night, but here's the quote from Thomas Edison. Opportunity is missed by most people because it is dressed in overalls and looks like work. It's the next slide. You're missing, please push the button. You're missing the opportunity because sometimes it's dressed in overalls and looks like work. And so we drive on by this opportunity. But opportunity doesn't always have to be a positive thing. I have the opportunity. There are crimes of opportunity. I spent 2 years in probation because of a crime of opportunity. So you have an opportunity doesn't mean you have a positive, always a positive set of circumstances that's leading you to make something or allow something to happen in your life. But we all have opportunities. Good or challenging or bad choices, but they're all opportunities. It's just a set of circumstances that make it possible to do something. I would call the book of Acts, I would name the book of Acts this, embraced opportunities. Because the book of Acts is the actions of the apostles and the early church. That's why it's called Acts. It's not it's only because it's the acts of, or the actions of, or the embraced opportunity of the early church and the apostles in that day and age. They embraced many opportunities. Some of those opportunities were not positive. Some were positive. So all the way through the book of Acts, we have embraced opportunities. And some were negative and some were positive, experienced by people. Here we're going to pick it up just for a few moments this morning. In Acts 7, 59 and 60, you have an opportunity today. We all have an opportunity today. If you embrace an opportunity, will God do something in your life today? Look what he did for Stephen here. While they were stoning him, Stephen, we know, is the first known martyr of the church. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he fell on his knees and cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he fell asleep. His opportunity. The next slide, I'm going to run down through all these verses to see what the embraced opportunity to live your faith out loud, even to the point of death. That opportunity is before you today. It was before Stephen at that moment. And because he lived it in life, he lived it through his death. Because he was being stoned, because he was living his faith out loud. Will you take the opportunity? The circumstances are right for you and I to embrace an opportunity to live out our faith, even to the point of death. That thing is still in the way of that screen back there. To forgive those who hurt you or are hurting you right now. To forgive those that are hurting you. Not those that have just hurt you in the past, but those that are hurting you right now. In the moments that Stephen was being stoned, he said, "God, forgive them." That's the last thing he said before he died. "God, forgive them." There's always an opportunity to forgive those that are hurting you right now. Will you embrace the opportunity? Picking up in chapter 8, he says, when Saul, later to become Paul and become the greatest missionaries to the Gentiles, but he wasn't always Paul, he was Saul here. Saul was there giving approval of Stephen's death. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered through Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off men and dragged off women and put them in prison. You got an opportunity today. Push the button, please. To tear down and hinder the work of the church. I'm hoping we don't embrace that opportunity. But you got to know, you have the ability to do that. You have the opportunity. There are circumstances that are right in any church environment for you to tear down and hinder the work of the church. Saul found that out. Beginning and continuing in verses 4 through 6. Those who scattered preached the word everywhere they went. Philip went down to the city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. There's an opportunity today to preach the word. Will you take the opportunity in your life, throughout your life, to preach the word? Will you take the opportunity like Philip did? Even though life was a little hectic at the time, I'm telling us right now, Saul was dragging people out of their house. Saul was putting people in prison. We just saw Stephen stoned. But these people would not shut up about Jesus. Because there was an opportunity for those that which carried the hope to be dispensed into a world that seems hopeless. Will you take that opportunity? Will you take the opportunity to spread the word? Will you take the opportunity to preach the word and to proclaim the Christ? Verses 7 and 8 says this, with shrieks and evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples were healed. So there was a great joy in the city. All while they're being dragged out of their house. All while they're being put in prison. All while they're trying to have a funeral for Stephen. People are preaching the Word of God. People are bringing Christ to the environment because Christ is the only hope, because He defeated death by death. We are one with Him again. Come to the light, church. Come to the light. Come. I know the world's going to hell in the handbasket. It always has been going that way. Aren't you glad somebody didn't give up just before sharing the gospel with you? The generations are in our time of history. God has chosen us to be in these moments of history. You and I, to be walking through 2021. Will we take the opportunity? Will we take the opportunity to be people who are seeking and giving out Jesus, and maybe even to seek a healing touch from Jesus? There are people who came. There are people who are lame and they're crippled, maybe that way for life up to this moment. And they heard somebody that had the wherewithal, somebody that had the guts to proclaim Jesus, even though the world is in a storm. And they came to Him and they came to them seeking a healing. Do you want to take the opportunity to seek a healing this morning? Is this morning the morning you're going to seek a healing? Is that opportunity out there? That opportunity is out there for you. Will you receive that opportunity? The circumstances are right for you to seek a healing, to proclaim the Word, to proclaim Jesus, to live your faith even if it costs you your life. Verses 9 and 10 of that same passage says this: Now for some time a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed people in Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great. And all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention. This man had divine power, known as the Great Power. You know what? There's an opportunity right now for you to sing your own praises. Come and see how good I am. Sing my own praises. See, when you're singing your own praises, you aren't singing the praises of Jesus. So Simon was singing his own praises, and people say, "Whoa!" And he said, "Well, I'm pretty cool. I am all that and a bag of chips." Listen to what the people are saying. And every moment he would take the opportunity to proclaim how good he was. He was filling the air with lies when he could have been filling it with Jesus. Will we take the opportunity to sing our own praises? They followed him in verses 11 and 12. They followed him and he had amazed them for a long time with his magic. But when they believed that Philip, as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. There's an opportunity right now to preach the good news of the kingdom of God. Just so you know, there's a recurring theme down through this passage. Preaching Jesus is a recurring theme. No matter what was going on, if Stephen's being stoned, there's an opportunity to preach. If somebody's being put in prison for their faith, there's an opportunity to make people know about Jesus. If there is someone singing their own praises and drawing the spotlight to themselves, there's still people that need Jesus. There's always this opportunity to share Jesus. I don't care if you're at Walmart, or I don't care if you're at McDonald's. I don't care if you're here. I don't care if wherever you are, there's always an opportunity to share Jesus. To preach the good news of the kingdom of God. Simon himself, look at verse 13. Simon himself believed and was baptized. He followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. Right now, there's an opportunity to stop singing your own praises and repent. Don't you love it that God didn't give up on Simon? The Simon for many, many years had been connected to the occult, or connected to the satanic powers of this era. For years and years and years, he had amazed people with his magic. Everybody thought he was great, and he thought he was great. But when he heard about Jesus, he all of a sudden realized that was real. And God did not give up on a guy who had walked in the occult for years. Don't you love a God who doesn't give up on people? There's always an opportunity to stop singing your own praises and repent. And there's an opportunity to become empowered by the Holy Spirit to accomplish the miraculous. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that there's an opportunity to be empowered by the Holy Spirit and demonstrate the miraculous? Amen. Philip took the opportunity. Do you think it ended with Philip? Do you think it was only for Philip? Do you think it's only a New Testament thing? Do you think it's only a Bible thing? Then why is it recorded for you and I? And why is it protected over all these years for you and I to realize we can take that opportunity as well? Amen. See, I think we read the Bible stories and we think, man, that was cool. It would have been really cool to live back then. God said, I didn't choose you to live back then. I chose you to live now. And I didn't erase any of my promises or any of my power from the environment. You're still on this earth, and my presence and my power are the same as they were with Philip. Will you take the opportunity to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to demonstrate the miraculous when I want you to? But we wiped it off our tables. Verse 14 says, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. Just so you know, there's an opportunity right now to accept the word. There were people accepting the word every day. You know what accept means? To embrace and not let go. That's what the word accept means. When I accept something, I embrace and I don't let go. I embrace the opportunity to accept the Word of God. God wants us to do that right now. He wants us to embrace the Word. It's the living, breathing Word of God. Embrace it, he says. Take that opportunity on this day. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon them. They had simply been baptized in the name of Jesus. When Peter and John placed their hands on them, they received the Holy Spirit. Just so you know, Simon's in this group. Simon's about to get a dose of real great power. There's always a time and always an opportunity to pray for new believers. You know how many new believers we have in here? We have a fair amount of new believers in here. Amen. You ever know that when some, you can pray for old believers too. You can pray for me. 25 years in July this year. And you can take me by the hand anytime you want. When you come in here on a Sunday morning and the Spirit's leading you, you can take me by the hand, you can pull me in and says, the Spirit of God's leading me right now to pray for you. That you will accept the Word of God, that you will go through, I'll take any of this stuff, except exalting myself, except doing something that would tear down the church. But there's always time to pray for new believers. When Simon saw the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money. I don't think it's made him very happy. Listen. And said, give me that ability so that everyone whom I lay hands on may receive the Holy Spirit. And Peter answered, may your money perish with you because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. I just see Peter's veins sticking right out in his neck. His forehead is like, boom. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. Come on now. There's an opportunity right now to stop thinking money or any other abilities you have gives you special privilege in the kingdom of God. Not only is the base of the cross, push the button, not only is the base of the cross level, the kingdom of God is level. And Peter is saying, will you stop thinking that because you have something that maybe somebody else doesn't have, you can have more of the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is wide open to everyone.
Amen.
Don't think you can buy it. Don't think you can earn it. There's an opportunity right now to realize, well, I don't have that. I don't have this. So what? The kingdom of God is open. There's an opportunity to know that right today. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he's talking to Simon. Perhaps he will forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin. Then Simon answered, oh no! That's the way I would interpret that. Pray to the Lord for me, so nothing that you have said may happen to me. There's always an opportunity to repent some more. When you repent once, you ain't lined up yet. Okay? Just so you know. There's always an opportunity to repent some more. I don't know about, I think Simon Peter and this Simon may have a lot in common. But there's never not an opportunity for us to turn more to Jesus. When they had testified and proclaimed the word of the Lord, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel to many Samaritans villages. Just so you know, there's always an opportunity to preach the gospel. Even when people are dying, going to prison, being persecuted, even when people are exalting themselves, even when people are trying to tear down the church, even when people are upset, even when people are running for their life, there's always an opportunity to share the gospel. Verse 26, it says, An angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out. And on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah. The Spirit told Philip, go to the chariot and stand next to it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot. As Brian and I were sharing this week, the power just not to, the obedience to go, but now this dude's running alongside of the chariot. I'm telling you what, without the Holy Spirit, if I'm running next to a chariot, I need oxygen. I'm not saying anything when I get there. The Spirit told Philip, run, go to the chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. You know what? I don't have this in there, but there's always a good opportunity to read the Word of God out loud. If your mind wanders when you read the Word of God, read it out loud. See if that helps your mind. He's reading it out loud. And Philip says, maybe he's still trucking beside him, and he says, hey, do you understand what you're reading? Philip asks. There's always an opportunity to listen to the Holy Spirit and do what he's commanded us to do. And verse 31 says this, how can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture. He was led like a lamb, like a sheep to slaughter, as a lamb before his shearer is silent. And he did not open his mouth. In humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from this earth. And the eunuch asked Philip, please tell me, Is the prophet talking about himself or someone else? Then Philip began in that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. There's always an opportunity to help someone understand more about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave the orders to stop the chariot. Then Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. There's always an opportunity to make your faith public through baptism. I'll end with this. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away. And the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. There's always time and always an opportunity to rejoice in what the Lord has done and is doing. Will we take the opportunity? Some people here are going to take the opportunity this morning to be baptized. And we get to see it. We get to see it this morning that there's going to be an opportunity, just like the Ethiopian who said, "Hey, is there any reason I shouldn't be baptized? Is there any reason that I shouldn't, right here in front of everybody that's with me, right here in front of everybody that's going home with me, every one of my employees, every one of the people that are in this caravan going with me, stop! Everybody stop! I'm going to be baptized! You can't believe what just happened in the chariot with Philip and I! I realized that the prophet wasn't talking about only himself. He was talking about Jesus. And Jesus died and went to the cross for me. He trampled over death by death. And I could come alive now. And right here in front of everybody, to me, it's the first known, maybe public baptism of one dude. We will have a baptism every time there is one person who wants to be baptized. The opportunity is before us today to tell others about Jesus, to tear down the church. I don't recommend that. To exalt yourself, not a good idea. To repent, to tell somebody about Jesus, to tell somebody about Jesus, and to tell somebody about Jesus, to embrace the Word of God, to embrace it. So this morning we get to baptize. We get to baptize 5 young ladies. Ladies, young ladies, you don't need this world to set you free. Jesus has already set you free. He is an equal opportunity employer. And we're going to baptize this morning. And you get to be a part of that. So I'm going to invite those as one by one. I'm going to call MJ. I'm going to call you up first. I get to baptize my own granddaughters in front of their mom, and their dad's going to help me, in front of their sister, in front of their iPop and grandma, in front of their Nana this morning that made their trip a couple hours to be a part of this monumental moment in their life. And just so you know, Ariana is going to be the first one baptized. Just so you know, a few weeks ago, Ariana came to Christ during communion here at New Life. Because we didn't kick her out during communion. Because she had questions. And her mom answered the questions. And after that service, Ariana was standing in front of me and she said, "Pap, I want you to know I give my heart to Jesus." Because Jesus trampled over death by death so she could come alive.
That's good. Yeah, just stand right there. Huh? And I got to ask each one of these little ones. I said, "I'm going to ask you something when you get up here. And I'm going to ask you if you got Jesus in your heart. And I'm going to ask you to respond to that. And you respond however you know your heart needs to respond." And so that was the coaching, if you will, to get to this point. So, Ariana Faith, do you have Jesus in your heart? Brinley. They're bringing her towel. Brinley turns 10 years old this week. Brinley has walked with the Lord probably 6 years in her 10 years of on this earth, and I am fortunate that my family carries the heritage that I tapped into a few years late. But I tapped into that. I can see granddaughters. I can see the next generation embracing Jesus this morning. So
and letting us all know that he is real in their life. I'm telling them the same Jesus that's real in my life is real in her life. Amen. Brindley Grace, do you know Jesus as your Savior? Do you have him in your heart? Selah, second only to my granddaughters, I have more heart drawings from Selah than anyone else in this world. She has given me more hearts. I have a whole collection. I keep all those things. And I have a whole collection of all those hearts. So, and I asked, that Selah is really, she wanted to be baptized here in for the last several months. Come on up here, family. Make sure you can see. This is a monumental moment. And I ask, it is cold, yeah. I asked Selah, I said, I'm going to ask you next week. I asked her last week. I said, I'm going to ask you next week if you know Jesus. She said, I've known Jesus since I was 4. And she says, and I know what baptizing means. So I think, thank you, Mom and Dad, that has brought her to this moment where she understands. Graham, thank you, aunts and uncles, brothers and sisters, the whole shade forest is up here, and so thank you for all the things that you do in little kids' lives. To the same Jesus that conquered the grave lives in Selah. Powerful. Alex was here last week, and I think her older sister was kind of nudging her this way, and Alex wasn't too sure about baptism and all that entailed, right? And I said, Alex, can you and I just have a conversation? And we sat up here on the platform after the service last week, and I said to Alex, I said, do you know, I'm going to ask you if you know Jesus. Do you have Jesus in your heart? And Alex uncovered this wonderful story about a church that she was at, and she responded, and someone took her in the back room, and a couple of them, and they just explained who Jesus was and what he had done for them. And I think she told me she was like 7 years old when that happened, and she said, I do have Christ in my life. And I said, and she didn't really know what baptism was, and we talked about that. I'm just to be honest, it was probably the first in-depth conversation I'd ever had with Alex. Just so you know, I am without a doubt that this girl knows Jesus. And I'm without a doubt that she knows exactly what she's doing here and what God's going to do in her future. But Alex, I do ask you, so tell everybody out here, do you have Christ in your life? Have you received him as Savior?
Yeah.
Estrella. Estrella is my sidekick on Monday nights and many Wednesday nights. So Estrella has a lot of good questions about who God is. And I get texts from Estrella just to trying to understand creation or Isaiah or some off-the-wall 14-year-old question. I don't know where they come from, but it's really cool to walk with Estrella. Estrella had messaged me a while ago, a year or so ago, and she said, "Hey, I just wanted to let you know that when you offered someone to trust Jesus in one of the services, I was one of those people." And she said, "I give my life to Christ." And she's been the summer. The reason this is on the 22nd of August is because Estrella spent some of her summer in North Dakota, South Dakota. And so we're waiting until Estrella gets home to do this baptism. So Estrella, I think God has a future for you that you have no idea what it is. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive what God has in store for those who love him. Estrella, do you love Jesus this morning?
Yes.
Do you have him in your heart?
Yes.
Estrella, I baptize you in the name of the Father. I have never been more sure about five young ladies. And I'm so expectant to what God's going to do. What he's going to run them around that he didn't run many of us around because we didn't listen. I'm opening it up. Tobin and I are still in the water. If anyone else has been motivated, and I'm not trying to guilt you in anything. Has the Spirit of God led you say, "I, it's me. I didn't bring any clothes. Don't worry, Kyle didn't either. He went home wet." So just a few moments here. Has anyone felt the Spirit say, "You need to go up there. You need to be baptized. You need to be proclaiming your faith in front of this crowd of people"? Anyone? Just for those of you who might not know, this is Estrella's mom. This is Beth. Beth, you know Christ as your Savior? Are you ready to walk it out with him? Are you going to make that public proclamation this morning through this baptism? Few more seconds. Anyone else? Just so you know, I will always be in the water with anyone I baptize because Philip was in the water with the eunuch. They went down in the water. They came out of the water together. I always want to be in what they're in. I always walk it out with them. Oh, I'll drop the ball some days. You'll have more than one opportunity to forgive me. But you got to know my heart is always wanting to walk it out with you. Father, thank you for these moments together. Thank you for this baptism. Thank you for these six young ladies and women that come out before this congregation of people and said, it's me. It's my turn to say yes to the public that I have Christ as my Savior. Father, it's really cool. It's really cool to watch 5-year-olds and 6-year-olds and 14-year-olds and 10-year-olds and 13-year-olds and moms making a public proclamation of their relationship with you, Jesus. Thank you so much for that. Father, here we go. We're going to come up out of the water, and I don't think that you're going to take Tobin or I and miraculously move us to another location. I think we're going to be here. We're going to have some food here. So, Father, I'm just going to take this opportunity, too, to thank you for those that brought the food and thank you for what we're going to dine on together here. And, Lord, I know some may need to go and some may stay, but a blessing in the name of Jesus on everyone in this room today, everyone listening online this day, a blessing on them. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day.